Welcome back to the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
Is this episode six?
Yes, episode six. It's still in single digits and I'm finding it hard to count.
In general?
Just in general. My brain's gone.
Jake is a very soggy Jake this afternoon. That's why we call him Aquaman.
And for any American listeners, a soggy Jake is a famous dessert that you should ask for if you're ever at a restaurant in the UK.
How have you been, man? How's your week?
Yeah, it's not been too bad. It's just draining, just very, very busy. And I'm going to try my hardest not to be as low energy as I was last time.
Just be yourself, Jake. No, actually, no.
You don't want to see that.
No, don't. That's terrible.
The stripper pole comes down. My bobble comes out.
The bobble comes out. I love that. That's like a thing.
That's a thing, yeah.
When the missus gets home, you're like, all right, babe, bobble's out. Let's go.
I'm supposed to be the producer of these episodes, and I've produced very little since the last time. So it's gonna be a little bit of a free form kind of we'll say it's a gimmick for this episode. Oh, it's like the wild card episode, when in reality it's like the Jake didn't do his work episode.
Yeah, I like these a lot more.
Sometimes some pretty fun things come out of them.
I'll be real with you, man. Every episode so far, like an actual trick has come out of every single one. It's the craziest thing. Like practical tricks.
Yeah. Things that we can actually go out and test, or, you know, even if it's not something that would ever be considered marketable, it's something that you can give to people for free who are watching it and they might want to try it.
Yeah. Most of the stuff that I, in my head, when we're creating for this is ideas for actual performance.
Yeah. Yeah. In my brain, I'm trying my hardest to think of things that are a little bit, well, the same as the stuff on your channel. It's kind of EDC DIY.
Mm. Yeah. And I don't mind coming up with ideas that are not practical.
Mm.
It's kind of the reason why we started this whole podcast. It was to create ideas which may not just be a standard repeat at every table card trick.
No, because it's when you start working on the pipe dreams and the impossible projects that you end up splitting off down weird little avenues, and you go, well, that technique would never work in real life. But actually, if you switch that around, you could do it for something else.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, I hear a bunch of our listeners wrote in with suggestions based off of last week's episode for some of the ideas we were talking about.
Oh, they did. They did. I actually got a very, very long message from Rich Relish, a brilliant mentalist and creator.
Genius.
Who's just released Compass. Is it? Compass?
Mm-hmm.
With 1914.
Have you seen it yet, by the way, Compass?
I haven't, no. I downloaded it and I just haven't had the chance to watch it yet.
I've watched a majority of it so far. It's not really the type of trick that I would consider doing. For anyone that doesn't know, it's a billet marking system. It's a way to mark blank pieces of card that are to anyone else's eyes identical in every way. And then you know secretly who's had which card and who's written on each card. And I remember reading, like, you know, old methods for this years ago, and just I thought I would never really use it, but what impressed me as much as the method on there, and not to get into talk about, you know, new products or anything, but what impressed me as much as the method itself was the presentation that they had. In particular, there's one presentation which is a one-on-one effect, which I thought was phenomenal, like phenomenal. So massive, massive props to Rich Relish. But every time we talk about this guy, we have to say that he's a genius, because he's a living genius.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's definitely at least in the top two creators from Wales.
Oh, yeah. The top two.
Definitely top two.
Definitely.
It's maybe
him and Sam Sugarman, isn't it?
No. No. I was talking about me, Jake. Me.
You sell yourself as so humble, but in reality it's all ego.
The worst thing is, like, genuinely, Rich is like one of these people that I think, like, he's intimidatingly good. Like, I wouldn't, if there was a creativity contest, I would I would call him as my tribute. You know, like in Hunger Games? And they're like, right, we need this. It's like a four nation creativity contest with you up in Liverpool, someone from Scotland, and someone from Ireland. Then, and if my name got pulled out of the sorting hat, and then I would like quickly raise Rich's hand and say, "Oh, I call you as tribute," like I'd nudge him forward and accidentally make him go because he's the bomb. Anyway, enough brown nosing. What's his message?
His message is, it's quite a long message, and it goes over some of the things that we spoke about that has led him off on a couple of different little ideas. So I'll just read through it, and paragraph by paragraph, we could kind of talk about each of the pieces, if that's all right.
Great.
So he said, "Loved this week's podcast, mate, and it gave me two ideas. Happy for you to share them if you want. First one is related to the pin drop piece." So that was... you're kind of out of sync in time, dropping a pin on a plate that was half, this is a phrase that's fun, and this is a presentation angle that's fun, and half, what's the effect? And we kind of spoke a little bit about that. But he said, you know, in modern days, you drop a pin when you send someone your location on a phone. So he loved the idea of the physical pin drop being used to reveal a thought of location because of that kind of... the tie-in with the phrases.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Instantly. I hate him.
Yeah, yeah. So location divination is definitely like a Beastie Boys tribute act or something. That's a cool sound of phrase.
Do 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 do. Also then, off the back of that again, if you're going to do a location divination and something to do with dropping a pin to create that moment of magic, or something being as quiet as a pin drop in, you could then somehow tie in the idea of that wherever the location of that they're thinking, they never say it out loud. So they keep it silent. Even if then the room fell quiet so that you could hear a pin drop, I would never be able to hear what that is. And I would never be able to know what that is. Yeah. You know, so it could just thematically, it's like a triple entendre. Not really a triple entendre, but...
it's a, like you're saying, it's all thematic, and it's the little things like that when you're tightening up an effect or a routine, and you add this layer of gloss over it, and you're like, there's a famous line in a documentary about the Star Wars prequels where George Lucas was saying it's all a circle, it's poetry, it has to rhyme, talking about Jar Jar Binks, I think, and it's like that. It's like that little layer of gloss when you go back over. Well, when you go back over a wall and you've missed a little bit, you're just tying it all together and making it perfect. And that idea of using just that as the presentation, as the script, this phrase that's repeated and it means different things, and it's used physically and it means something else. It's just a gorgeous touch.
Yeah. Again. I didn't know that he'd written this. So I actually don't know what the idea is going to be, but I'm guessing the next one's going to be just as good.
So he said, secondly, and I'm definitely going to do this. This was inspired by you saying about getting someone to think of a happy thought. I would ask someone to think of a memory that makes them smile and then boil it down to a couple of words. Tell them it's never going to be revealed and ask them to write it down. You peek the information. And then as you're performing another routine, let's say the Paris one, you mention the phrase, see it in your smile. You ask them to think of their answer and smile as you show them the card or whatever it is in the routine. As you pass them the card back, ask if you can whisper something to them and tell them you saw more than just Paris in their smile. Let's say they wrote down daughter's birthday. You'd whisper a rough version of it to them. So maybe something to do with a child, maybe your child. Leave it vague to add realism. So capturing a piece of information and saying that you are receiving it in a smile and saying, oh, I got a bit more than that, and revealing the information that you got earlier from a peek.
You get in like extra, like overlay, like a...
yeah.
like a wake. Coming off a boat. That's so good.
Yeah, I can see
him using that actually.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine it'd go down super, super well. If you're doing walk around or hopping between tables and you remember a piece of information that you peaked that was never used in a routine, you come back later, do something else where you explain that the, you know, the method is that you can see it in their smile and they have to think of something when they're thinking of this thing, a card or whatever, and say that, you know, I think I captured a little bit more than just this answer in your smile. And a lot, anything that involves whispering to someone, intimacy, I absolutely love. Because regardless of what some people believe, oh, if you just whisper into one person, you're only playing to them. You're not whatsoever, because think of the effect that it has on other people if they see you whispering to someone and the reaction they get. It's so much more than just an intimate moment between you and one other person. You're showcasing something amazing happening to everyone who's watching.
Yeah, I've been around a lot with Pete Turner. Pete uses whispering as a ploy quite often, and I'm not sure if this is the correct word, but it's almost like a slightly, even when it, like, it's almost like slightly provocative in a way, but in not like a too much a way. But it's like you lean into whisper to someone. It's almost like, ooh, what's going on here? Like, what is he saying that we can't hear? It's kind of like a shadow moment. It's really interesting, and often you see that's when people will cry from mentalism is after whispers for some reason.
Yeah.
Because it connects so deeply, like so personally.
Just the act of doing it itself, like you say, it's sharing a connection with someone. It's super, super intimate, leaning over and whispering to someone. And if you ask them, can I lean in and whisper something to you? They're letting you do it. There's no harm, no foul. It's not like, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And much of a terrible breath.
Yeah. The good thing about whispers as well is, because of the nature of the dual reality of it, it doesn't even have to be anything especially relevant.
Yeah.
If you were to lean in and say, there is something else that I'm feeling, can I just, am I okay to whisper it with you? And will you please not share it with anyone? And just tell them, you know, whatever, you know, your family love you. That's a terrible example, but whatever the piece of information is, if they're thankful for hearing that, they're not going to tell it to anyone else because you've asked them not to. And everyone else's brain is going, oh, what has he just seen? What has he just told them?
I've also seen it done where you say, where you say something which is not true, but which is absolutely heinous. So you whisper something, like you can say, this next piece of information, I'm going to whisper it. It's about you. It's about you. I know it's true, but I'm going to whisper it to you and it's not to be repeated. And you lean and you whisper something like, you do terrible things to animals, but like obviously you say the worst version and you get like this big freak out reaction from them, and it's like a dual reality moment for the audience. But I've seen that done, and it is effective. It's shocking but effective.
It is it's very performing in a pub kind of cool, like the vibes. I love it.
Yeah, smoky bar.
Yeah
We don't actually have those in the UK anymore.
No, sadly, was it 2007, 2008? I remember my last cigarette in a bar, and it was a terrible day.
I remember there was a thing that landlords could do. There was a loophole that if you had a survey, conduct some research, people were allowed to smoke in bars or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember a local pub was doing it, and they were allowed smokers in.
Brilliant.
Is there any more to Rich's comment?
No, that's it from Rich. It was those two really, just really nice touches, which is it's exciting. I obviously we will speak about method or a presentation or a routine, but sometimes it's them little touches that get you super excited about an idea. You might not even have the effect of the trick yet, but you think, "What if I say this at the end? I know it'll kill."
Yeah, often it's now I'm at a point with my magic, I think, where I'm not hunting for new tricks per se, but I'm looking for, what can I do to take this trick and turn it from a magic trick into a miracle? What's this? It could just be one tiny thing, or it could be one phrase. It could just be the pacing of it is changed, or the modular order of things is changed about it. I mean, that's more what I look to do these days with the stuff that I like perform on the regular. And that's what excites me the most.
Yeah. Once you've got something worked in and you can start to refine it and elevate it, and yeah, it's gorgeous.
The thing, do you want to see the thing that's been I've just been obsessed with for the last few days?
It depends what you're about to pull out.
That's what she said. No, it's a card thing, right? I'm assuming it's been done before, but it's just the terrible magician brain to me that's just been mad, trying to think of how I can make this even more fun. So I'll show it to you. I'll see if I can do it without messing up. But I'm gonna dribble through the cards and you just say stop.
Stop.
I'm gonna run out of cards there. Sorry, I think it's a time delay. I'll dribble through and just say stop.
Stop.
There?
Yeah, that'll do.
Remember that card. I'm genuinely not looking at it.
Okay.
Got it?
I do.
So I genuinely didn't look at that card.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're gonna give the deck an actual shuffle as well, which often you don't get to see with these types of things I'm going to show you. So it's a good shuffle there, and I'm going to give it another mix for realsies. It's pretty legit, right? If you can see, you see the faces of the cards.
Yeah.
No duplicates. There's no extras of your card, right, or anything.
Doesn't look like it.
Cool. So at this point from here, I would attempt to read your mind, or if I wanted to, I could like control the card, but I would think that the card you chose was the Four of Hearts.
Sure was. Yeah.
So the method, it feels really obvious to us, I think, but there's more going on than you think, and it allows you to do some extra stuff. Do you want to see it? Did you know what it is?
I don't. I don't believe I do. Not from sight.
Okay, so I'll run it through again, and then and maybe we can jam what you can get from this. So I'm genuinely not peeking your card until the very last thing. And I am shuffling this deck.
Yeah.
So first thing, I'll run through it, then I'll explain it. So card selected. So let's say it's this one.
Yeah.
No breaks, nothing. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to shuffle the cards here. For real. And then I'm going to give them another shuffle. About half. It doesn't even matter if it's perfect or not. Say like this. And I still don't know what the card is. But from here, I can now find the card.
Right.
Right. So what's happening is this. I'm using the key card principle, but in a way which is deceptive, and it has a factor to it, which I think is a bit easier. So the first thing is, you know what the key card principle? Like, let's say the Seven of Diamonds is the key card. So this is the card selected. And it's lost next to the seven. When you go through the deck face up and you use the ploy or the ruse of, you can see all the cards are different. Normally, the card they're thinking of goes past before the key card. So in this case, it's the King of Spades was the chosen card.
Yeah.
The seven's the key card. But at this point, the card's already like sort of gone past the point.
Yeah.
And I thought that always like irks me a little bit, because if you're trying to cull, you kind of have to go back a little bit, or you also have to get to that card and see it out in the open.
Yeah.
Right in front of them. And I don't know why, but it's always been like a tiny like bit for me. So this is what's happening with this control, or this peak, because it can be a control too. I'll bring this down a bit. Is that I have a card selected from the top third-ish, and I peak a key card, right?
Right.
So Eight of Spades, the key card. This is the selection, but it doesn't matter. Now I drop that on top. Now I'm going to shuffle, but reverse the cards in the area where that key card is. So I grab a block, which I know their card's not in. So it looks loose and sloppy. And then I reverse, like, say, 10 cards here. Okay. And now I can do this shuffle, which is a fit. The remainder of it is fit.
Yeah.
Which now, where the key card... the Eight of Spades was on top, now it's underneath. But also, you've got a fair-looking shuffle, right?
Yeah. 100%.
So the cool thing now is that I add a Pharaoh shuffle in. Here. Like this. Which now is another convincer to the audience. You could have people's hands over your eyes. You've actually shuffled it in. You've actually done a proper shuffle, like a Pharaoh shuffle. Very, very fair. And the nice thing now is that because that, so the Eight of Spades was on top with the selection here. But because you did the overhand shuffle, they've now flipped. And now because you farrowed, a card's gone in between, right? So was it the Jack of Spades was the key card? That was the Eight of Spades. So now you're in this position, which is really cool, where I can spread through now. I'm just looking for the Eight of Spades.
Yeah.
And I'll see it, hopefully, somewhere here. But I'm not going to be able to... Their card is under the Three of Clubs.
Yeah.
But it means I can spread like this. I now know it's one card away without ever coming to it. Even though I don't know what the card is, I never have to even show it. So at this point, I can spread through. And what I could do, for example, I could cut here and gesture, get a double, and just turn the deck around and say, look, your card's somewhere in here. And now I've got it on top. Or just with that thing in general, I can... It's knowing that I know when it's going to appear now. Instead of it going past me already and being out in the open, I'm now here. I say, look, your card could be any one of these cards in the deck. At this point, I can stop. And as I turn back, I can just push and glimpse as it goes down. Or get to here, show, and then continue to shuffle it back in or say, actually, do you know what? You shuffle. It's a tiny, stupid little thing. And probably has no place for anyone right now, but it was just like the little, I thought it'd be interesting to share the little process that I went on and the reasons why is that, it, you know.
Yeah, but that's not tiny and stupid. Stuff like that's brilliant. I'm absolutely a huge proponent for anything just simple as can be. I mean, I showed you a new kind of peak that I was working on, and which is the dumbest, simplest thing ever, but I love it.
Give me a code word.
It was with two decks and you put one card into the other deck.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, that thing's brilliant.
Thank you, man. Well, I think that's brilliant. It flies by. That fly by so many people.
It just puts you in a position which you're not in with the just a typical key card thing. And again, I'm guessing I'm sure it's probably been done 1,000 times before. Probably been done 1,000 times before. But it was always just an annoyance of mine that when you do a key card effect, because key card can be so fooling.
Yeah.
But you always have to go past their card or generally go past their card first.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? Key cards, some of the first things that you will learn as soon as you get into Magic. If someone hands me a pack of cards at a family party, I'll still end up just doing the most basic key card tricks.
Yeah. You know,
have everyone shuffle it, just glimpse the bottom card. Okay, pick any card you want from the middle, put it into the deck, spread them out and hold your hand over them and move back and forth.
Do you want to see
the
trick
that I... from here?
This trick when I was a kid, I still use this to this day, and everyone will know of it, but it's such a hardcore trick. So I'll do it like this. You'll know it, but I'll just run through it quick then. So just say stop anywhere you like.
Stop.
Remember that card?
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Lost in the deck. I'm going to deal cards onto the table like this, all right? And when I get a feeling, I'm going to stop. Don't say anything. Don't give anything away. I'm going to run through the cards like this. Hopefully. Okay. The next card I turn over, how much do you bet that it's your card?
Oh, it could never be. I bet my entire life savings. That's won me the most free drinks in an actual sense, not like a, you know, like, oh, the most free drink, that just that most, but it's so fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's great.
How could you, okay, here's an idea. How could we take this classic trick and because it's not magic.
No.
It's a magic effect, but there's no moment of magic, is there?
No, it's a fun twist. Haha, got your reveal. And I still do it.
I have an idea.
Okay, tell me your ideas.
So I actually have the method. Talk about something for a second while I set it up.
Okay, sure thing. So last episode, we went over the Paris forces, and we're still kind of evolving those forces and trying to come up with new things. Well, at least I know I am. Lloyd's probably been asleep all week. But I did actually get those keyrings printed, where it's a poem on one side, and on the other side, it has the reveal of I Love FR with the eyes in the shape of an Eiffel Tower. And a couple of people commented about it. Matthew Wellborn said that a good idea for a Paris force would be to have 8 keys, each one of them with a room number etched on them. And then he's listed the room numbers that you could have on them, 15, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8. Have them pick a random key and then add up the digits in it. And they all add up to 6. So that's how you could force the F in the alphabet. And another part of the comments that I quite liked was I asked people to comment a certain phrase if they liked me more than you.
And, yeah, and everyone said they liked you more, which hurt my pride, but it's understandable.
So I won't be repeating that this week, just because, you know.
No, I think we need to have a running tally. I think we need to have a running tally. Also, I'm going to hide what I'm doing here because it might give away what I'm doing before it's done. You know what I mean?
Of course. Seth Howard left the comment saying that he's got a deck where every card is a famous architectural structure, and it's been his method for force and locations as of late.
Oh, which is that's
quite
good.
Fun. I quite like that. Lucian Lawson left a few comments. He's commented on a few videos. Using Jake's idea, you could have a deck of blank billets with the color written on one side and Paris written on the other for all of them. So have them freely pick a color, then place the card they selected on the table without them seeing what city is on the other side. You put the deck away. If they ask to see it, you can, you know, switch out a deck that has got the colors on one side and different cities on the back. Obviously, you would explain the premise of the trick before starting, but yeah, I mean, that's cool because you could do a routine that focuses on the visible selection at first, and it's only afterwards that you go into, oh, but as I told you, on the back of each of these cards, there's written a city, and that's when you pull out the switch deck and say, look, Barcelona, Prague, blah, blah, blah. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, that's super good.
So Matthew Wellborn posted a comment about, we did very, very briefly touch on the little game that I've been playing, Plot, Principle, or Prop. And he said, an idea for your ESP card blank, which was, we were trying to come up with effects that you could do with ESP cards in a reel. He said, an idea for your ESP card blank would be to use a carefully cut, printed transparency film on the card that hold it. So printed on transparent film would be the circle or the waves or whatever. So basically you would print the shape on the transparency, cut it out and hold it in front of the card. And then that would be easier to palm or use a reel to bring it back if you were trying to show that the card went blank because of whatever the effect is, making them forget, which is a pretty cool idea. It's a lot better than my idea of just using black tape cut into a shape.
Yeah.
I am.
Jake, you ready to see this?
I'm 100% ready. It's perfect timing because I think I ran out of comments.
So sorry if I wasn't listening too intently there. I think it's quite cool. Do you know what I'm going to do?
I don't know what you're going to do. No, I never know what you're going to do.
Okay. So I'm going to run through the cards. Just say stop any of you like.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
Yeah. Remember that card?
Okay.
Got it. Lost in the deck. Fair. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to deal through cards like this. Don't say anything out loud. Don't try and give me any clues. But I'm going to just get a feeling and just think about your card. We're going to make a wager on this card right here.
Okay.
How much would you bet that the next card that I turn over is your card?
Oh, about 350.
350. Look at this, Jake. £3,500. That's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you just lost your money.
What card did you turn over?
The Nine of Spades.
What? Oh.
Did I get it? Am I going wrong?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh. What was the card?
Three of Clubs. Yeah. Come on, boy.
Two of Clubs.
God damn.
So double backer or double facer, Queen of Hearts here with a duplicate force card on top. I flashed it when I riffled through.
Oh.
And then that goes in the deck here, mm-hmm. like this. And then so I have a Nine of Hearts, random cards, the Nine of Spades, double backer. And that goes on top. And then you're going to force the Two of Clubs however you want. So probably best to not do that riffle force, maybe whatever we're going to do. So maybe I'd say stop here. Remember that card? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder you thought it was the three. I covered the middle. So they remember this is the regular two. That can now get dropped into the center. And I'm just going to deal. And when I see that double, I'm just going to lay it to the side. Nice and out in the open. And when I hit the queen, I stop. Then I use the thing. The next card I turn over is going to be yours. Now I can pull this double out because there's some double stick tape on it and drop it on the queen.
Yeah.
At this point, everyone's like, you know, worried because
yeah.
I'm like, ha, 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 like a maniac, like, got you. You're all, you know, none of you can survive this attack. And then, but it genuinely feels like a magician in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what's good. Go on.
Okay,
I think what's good about this, and I've learned from another effect, is that because you're doing, first of all, they think you're going to turn this card over, and then you turn that card over, and they're like, ha ha ha, oh, and it gives you that like that break of the tension where you can do it. That's the type of moment where you can switch in an elephant.
Yeah.
You know. So it's like that. Oh, actually, no, it's not the card. But the, oh, I see what he did. Oh, wait, no. Well, wait, and everyone else doesn't know what the card is yet either.
Yeah, you know what's weird? Like 80% of me knew that you hadn't actually messed it up, but I was still like,
<That's> maybe fun. I should do it into the hands and have it spread out like this, and then at the end, so deal face up into my hands. So maybe it's like this. I say I'm going to deal through cards, and I'm just going to try and get a. I'm going to stop. So now it's going to make sense, right? When I square the cards up.
Yeah.
So here I'm just going to go to that. I see that queen. The next card I turn over, I think this is your card. Would you bet £5? Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Now I'm here. Turn that on top of that queen. Now, like, this is the perfect, like, physical motivation for it, right?
Yeah.
And now I can just drop it there. That will now get cleaned up into the deck.
Yeah.
Double stick tape. And then I can show it's the card. Because it turns it from a... It's fun because it's that classic premise effect that we all know, but it turns it then into a piece of magic as well.
Yeah. I love that. I love the idea of revisiting some of these little effects that we still do because they're still good.
Yeah.
And just seeing what else you can do with them. So do you want to know where my mind went with it, or do you want to carry on evolving?
No. That's all I've got for this so far. I'd love to know where your mind went.
Okay. I can't demonstrate it to you just because I don't have the same setup where I can show you, but and also because I haven't fully thought of the method yet. So where my mind went with it was what you showed before about having a card in between the key card and the their card.
Yeah.
There will be methods out there. I'm not much of a card magician, as you know. I want to get there to be a gap of about 10 cards between the key card and their card so that you could start the whole thing off normally, have it shuffled, do whatever you need to do. and then start putting the cards down and say that you know you're going to divine what their card was just by looking into their eyes as they look at it. And then you stop when you see the key card and you say, you know what, that's too easy. I'm not going to look at the cards. And you count five more and then stop and say, you know what, it's still too easy. Someone come and cover my eyes, just so you know I'm not cheating. And then you know it's five after that.
Oh, yeah, that's easily doable. I mean, you can have a card put back and then you get it. So this is the way I would probably do it, is I'd have a card selected. So it'd be this card. And then I'd say we're going to lose it into the center. What I'd probably do is I'd get a key card before I begin.
Yeah.
Right. This King of Clubs is six down. So then I'd say, I'm going to go through the cards like this. And I just want you to take out any card. And as I do that, I'm going to count basically 11 cards. So 4, 7, 10, 11. Let them take out card out from anywhere, but have it returned back here.
Yeah. Right?
So that is five cards before the key card. This is sixth, right? Whatever that is. So in this case, 10 of hearts, yeah. Now I can give it a Pharaoh shuffle. And that's going to put one card between every card and then the key card. Like this. And I can reverse these now if I want to, but just for the sake of this, I'll do it face up. I think it should be 12th now. So after the King of Clubs, it'll be 10 cards after that, or 11, maybe. I don't know. But right. We're looking for that King of Clubs. Unless it's on the bottom half of the deck. So now it's here.
Yeah.
So what was it? The 10 or the 9 of hearts, wasn't it?
Yeah, the 10 of hearts, yeah.
So we got King. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then it's either this one or the next one. So it's not that one. So it'd be 11, 11, 12. Yeah, because it was 6 down.
Perfect.
So you just get the key card at the fourth, below four cards. So let's say the 6 of diamonds, the key.
Yeah.
Whatever card goes fourth down, then just Pharaoh in, and now it's 10 down.
I love that. I like the idea of putting so much space between the key card and their actual card. And the fact that you can use it in the routine as prompts, you get to the key card and say, this is too easy. I'm not even going to look. I'm still going to deal them. I'm not going to look.
Yeah.
I like the showmanship angle of that. Someone can put a blindfold on me. Like, I don't even care. Watch, I'll still get it.
You could also like throw in some crazy shuffles there. So I think like, say for example, they deal and they see that, say the 9 of spades was the key card. So you know this is exactly 10 from here.
Yeah.
And they deal 1, 2, 3 more. You say, stop for a second, pick those up, give them a shuffle.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure. Pick a couple of these up. How many do you have there? 7. Well, that would probably, maybe they pick up a less. Maybe say like pick up like 3 or 4 cards, have a look at them, shuffle them up. No. So now like even though, you know what I mean, you're destroying the stack comfortably.
Yeah.
But know that their card will be 3, 4, or 5 away as it's coming. But yeah, from the presentational point of view, it's really powerful.
I love just seeing how different people will interpret things. Like I love that you came up with this super cool little trick, and then I've just instantly went to, how can I pretend I'm actually magic?
Well, what about doing it this way, old Jakey Magoo? 2 seconds.
Sure thing.
So
apologies to anyone listening purely in audio form for the these little sections where we're showing.
Go to YouTube
cards.
to see the good stuff.
Yeah, you can check this out afterwards. Otherwise, just listen to the sound of shuffling.
Just getting the deck in order, getting all my ducks in a row. Okay, I've officially lost the queen. Okay, there's the queen of hearts. All right. So this is the new effect idea.
Okay.
Jake, I'm going to drag it through. You just say stop anywhere you like.
Stop.
Right here?
Yeah, that'll do.
Remember that card? For everyone at home.
Two of clubs, baby.
Okay, so I'm going to deal cards face up onto the table, Jake. And I don't want you to say anything or give anything away. Actually, I'll deal them into my hand. But I just think about your card, focus on it. And I'm just going to stop when I get a feeling about your card. Let me go through quickly for the sake of this trick. I should probably get rid of that line. Don't say anything, will you, to give it away?
I never would.
Let's see. Okay. Jake, you haven't said anything about the card that you're thinking of you. Would you bet your house that the next card I turn over is your card?
Yeah, I will bet my house, yes.
Ha ha! Surprise! I turned over the Nine of Spades.
Oh, man.
Was that your card?
No.
Oh, damn. What was your card, Jake?
Two of clubs.
It couldn't have been that card, because that card's vanished. Right? So now I'm turning over a blank card for everyone at home, because the two of clubs is transposed over here.
Oh, beautiful.
under my phone.
Oh, that's fun.
The funny thing about that, to me, I don't know what to you, it almost feels like the card that I turned over transposed, even though it was the Nine of Spades. It never was the Two of Clubs.
Mm.
Did it feel like that to you?
Yeah. Sometimes there's little kind of like plot inconsistencies that you can still go with, because it's not picked up on. No one looks back and goes, wait a minute. If magic was real, surely this should have happened.
Yeah. There's something about that. It makes it feel like, it's almost like you could do it with a signed card.
Mm.
Like if they signed, because yeah, they could choose any card, sign it. You could load it and palm it from the deck. Now you do the whole thing and they deal, turn over the wrong card. But now that becomes blank. Like, oh, that's because your card's over here. It's a strange one. But very cool. Thing is, it doesn't have to necessarily be like a linear effect, I've found these days, to make things work or to get good reactions.
Mm. I think in a way it does have to be something that they can get their head around, because I don't know if it's maybe it's a symptom of bad performing, but I do remember when I was younger performing a trick to someone and here's the reveal, this was your card, and their reaction was not really getting what the trick was. And that, like I say, that could very well be bad performance, but sometimes it's just if it's not clear what's happened, it bypasses any kind of amazement and it just goes to I don't understand why is my
card. It's kind of like an overload.
Yeah, yeah.
The cup has runneth over.
Exactly.
That's cool. It's too chaotic.
Yeah, yeah. So there does need to be like a through line. There needs to be. I know in a way you're saying like things are too linear sometimes, but it's purely because they need to have something to hold on to whilst they're on the ride.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Do you know what? It's funny. I seen Lee Evans in concert years ago. He's for anyone who's not familiar, he's a comedian from the UK, like arena sellout comedian. Mm. And he was so funny live that I missed mostly all the show. Like I would laugh at one joke and then he would say, because he's like quick fire slapstick comedian, it's really expressive. He would say one joke and I would be laughing at it for the next 3 or 4 minutes and I missed the whole show. And everyone that was with me as well, my mum and my friend, we were all said the same, like, oh, it was hilarious, but I only heard like 3 jokes. Like, you know what I mean? It was just, and I suppose magic can be like that sometimes, especially with people who add too many phases to the routines.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get to, and there's the nine of clubs from where? From 7 tricks ago.
Yeah. Well, like people who will do like, more than 3 phase ambitious card routines. I think 3 should be the legal limit before then you start
the legal limit. Yeah.
I say 3 when it comes to top. When it starts to deviate, then it goes to the mouth or the pocket or other things. Then I'm not going to necessarily count that as part of the routine.
No.
But 3 is the maximum to come to the top, I'd say.
Yeah. And there's a huge fatigue point I mean, you know yourself, sometimes your lovely wife Kaylee does not want to see a card trick.
Yeah.
And if it goes on for 5 minutes, there's a lot less chance that she'll be interested in the reveal, whether it's good or not.
I wonder if you can use that to your advantage. If you can purposefully show them something to make them bored. Because with Kaylee, her ears prick up the moment I say this is not a card trick this week.
Yeah.
She's instantly hyped by it. So I wonder if there's a way you can use that in what happens is like she tends to like enjoy it a lot more just because it's almost like I love pizza, right? But if I have pizza every single, well, not so much me because I could eat it every day of my life. a normal person would eat pizza every day of their life. No matter if it's the best pizza in the world, when you now show them a Big Mac, they're going to go like, a Big Mac or more, you know, something.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you can use that to your advantage in a magic context.
So starting off with a card trick, and then I'm just trying to think of how it would link, because it has to link to, you know, if you started off with a card trick, they pick a card, you say, okay, put it under your phone, we're going to keep it safe, blah, blah, blah. You know what? This is boring. Can we do it a different way? And then you pull out some other prop, or there's some kind of mentalism or whatever it is, and still have it tie in a way that they're interested with the card they chose or whatever it is.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. That's a good idea. That's a good no, it's got my brain going.
It's unfortunate because sometimes when our brains are going, that's when it's just completely silent. So I have to fill it in with the inane chatter whilst your gears turn.
1 week you've got to whip out that keyboard as well, Jake. I can see that in the background. I didn't even notice it, man.
Yeah.
Tunes.
This is it's a child's toy.
I heard you know your way around an organ though.
Yeah, one or two, yeah. In my mum's house, I do actually have a piano from many, many years ago when I was a kid, but it's not been played in a while.
Do you know, there's a trick that came out recently. You know those little music boxes that play like theme tunes, like ding, like ping. I can't even, you know, do the high-pitched sound. And I thought it was actually one of the best releases that's been out in ages, because it's something, it was a musical release that kind of made sense. And I hate to try and force art forms together for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But since we have a keyboard there, Jake, quick fire. You get to choose to fuse one magic trick with music in some way. What do you do? Someone calls you, they say, Jake, we're booking you for an event, and you only need to perform one trick. We're going to pay you £10,000. £10,000. But the person that's booking you loves music and they love magic. So they want you to do something to do with magic and music.
Okay. So it's so weird. When someone asks a question like this, your mind splits off into about six different paths. Because first of all, I was thinking, okay, what's actually possible? What's the method? Well, then shouldn't I be thinking what's like impossible? What can I do that I can try and figure out?
Yes.
And so the first thing that popped into my head was like, oh, so what's a good prop? You've got, when you do karaoke, you have a booklet of songs. You could easily fit in some kind of force in there. You could fit in some kind of peak or whatever it is. A book of songs, like a karaoke book you could use. And then at the exact same time I had that thought, I thought, yeah, but that's kind of boring because it's possible and it's not, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is.
What if you could... I think for themselves and for everyone, it would be an amazing thing to be able to make somebody be able to play piano when they have no experience.
Right.
I have one, not really play piano, but maybe, I don't know. Like, so I hate referring to card tricks. So I'm not going to refer necessarily to a card trick, but it would be cool if, somebody thought of a song, right? Maybe you have a keyboard, but a basic one, like a child's one that maybe has like 10 keys with the notes written on it. So right. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, is it the notes, right?
Yeah.
So you bring out this like keyboard and maybe it doesn't look so terrible. And then somebody thinks of a song via, it's going to be a force,
right?
And then you bring out a deck of blank cards. and all the faces, A, B, all the keys. Mm. And you say, what we're going to do is we're going to shuffle these up like this. And you're going to deal you, say, this many cards and chucks them down. And then you have them shuffle the cards up as well. And you say, now which one you do, whatever order they're in, just deal them face up. Right? Yeah. So they deal them face up. And now you say, so here you have a set of notes. You're thinking of a piece of music. You shuffle these cards. Go ahead and just, as I call them out, you just type them. And suddenly it's like, it's like the Rugrats theme tune or something, you know? But something a bit more iconic, but instantly recognizable from a few simple notes.
It's really good.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Really good. Yeah.
It's the kind of thing which you could imagine everyone going like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could kind of work, actually.
It could totally work. That's why I'm a bit like, oh, that's
you could also get iPhone apps with pianos on them, right? So you can just do this anywhere. An iPhone app with like a piano that has 9 keys or the whatever that is, like 8 or something. So you say, look, as I call these letters out, the ones that you or something, you give the shuffle cards to the person in front of you. They're going to look at it. They're going to say it out loud, and you're going to hit the note. And person three is thinking of the song, right? So everyone just watch person three's face as you two do this, and you'll know if you've done anything right. And then they'll start to play. Ding. I don't know what the song's going to be. Whatever.
It could be anything. You don't want to get YouTube copyright strikes.
That's the only thing everyone plays on that piano. But that would be quite a cool moment for everyone to sort of experience.
Yeah. And obviously one of the big draws is having it be a shuffled deck of music notes and having them interact with it. I mean, so you could quite easily have the bank of the notes on the top. And then you could do you could have them mix it by saying, just start putting the cards down on the table. Once they get past, you know, the 10th card, when you know the stack is intact, say, shuffle them up, like put down as many as you want so that it's all still intact, but the bank is now on the bottom and it's reversed.
Yeah.
Into the right order, you know, if you had the stack originally in reversed.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
And then, so from the bottom, you could have them do like a cross-cut force. And have them turn over the top part of it and say, let's do it in this order. Then, you know, I'll take off each card or whatever it is. That's the first like kind of method that came to my head, but it's a bit like brute force simplistic.
No, it's actually the best way to do it. And you know what I would throw in there is, because I use this all the time, it's the Paul Curry, is it called a superior swindle? It's where you have them deal or twist. So they deal one down, they twist. Yeah. I think it's Paul Curry's Superior Swindle or something like that. I know it's by Paul Curry, or I read it from Paul Curry. It's one of the most effective in the hands false shuffles I've ever used, but they can do that twice. And do you know, it would be kind of cool to just throw in something extra as well. Like maybe from the cards, the 10 cards that they've shuffled up, you say, actually, do you know what? Just pick like a random one out and get rid of it. Or turn it up there. And then you show later, look, you took that one out from there. If you'd left it in there, it would sound like this. And it goes completely wrong.
Yeah. And what would be the method for that?
Just force them, like a timing force or something.
Mm.
Or think about it between 1 and 10, not 3. Okay, 7. Yeah. We'll take the 7th card out, whatever. Or even...
Yeah.
But I wonder, Jake.
What
is there also... Oh my God, right. Talk about something. I'm going to try and come up with an idea here.
Okay. I'm not a showbiz trained like young Lloyd over here, so I don't really know what to talk about now that I've went through my small little list of comments. So let me double check and see I didn't miss any. And I apologize if there's any dead air whilst I'm doing this. But let's take a look at Lloyd's channel, shall we?
I feel terrible that I'm doing this, but it's going to be worth it.
It's all right. I don't mind. You know, it is what it is.
Did you see today's tutorial Tuesday? Okay, I've got one. I've got one here.
Amazing. I did also see today's Tutorial Tuesday. Yes, and it's bloody brilliant.
Thanks, dude. Okay. I need to find it. Right. My wife can play piano too, but basically somebody would think of a song. And let's say I'm gonna bring up the song here, actually, right? So I don't actually know this song, or even if it is a song, but I'm sure there will be something. Hopefully.
These are very vague and nebulous comments you throw.
Hear this song? Oh, YouTube, I don't want to get copyright stricken.
Yeah.
All right, maybe it's a different one, but basically. The song is something called caged or caged bird in that instance.
Oh, the notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd say, look, you were thinking of a song in that they finally reveal it. Oh, what was the song called? Caged. You know, the interesting thing, if you take this, they all spell caged maybe twice.
Yeah.
There's 12 That's notes. That's fun. I was going to cage the elephant or something as well as another band. There's decaf, caged, badge, debag, decaf, faced, and fadge. I don't know what fadge is.
It's
according to Chambers. A bundle of sticks. Apparently.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But you could have two, there's other words like ace, age, bad, bag, bed. And there's like four letter words like bade, bead, cade, cafe, cage. So you could probably make a three or four, like you could probably make a three word sentence from notes on a keyboard.
Yeah.
Then force that song, force a word, and then rearrange the notes that all spell the notes from the song.
I like that. Just as like a next phase.
Yeah. As in a moment of. Just in case you think like nothing in this universe is not tied together and everything happens by pure chance. Like, look at this. But then you get into that realm of too perfect theory.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't know. Just as a complete aside, for some reason in my head, you saying that, because you were looking something up on Spotify made me think that I really want to find a song title that has just obviously never been written anywhere before, so I can upload it to something as a fake song and have someone lay down, you know, cards or whatever, words to come up with a song title. And then when they search it in YouTube, it comes up this, what looks like an actual song.
Ah, yeah.
But then it's got a reveal in for something.
You could totally do that using like stock footage, you know, of like a beach or something and people chilling on deck chairs, and it's got like then use a royalty-free track, not royalty-free, you know, a licensed track, but upload it under a different name. Because you can do that. You can call the video title anything you want as long as you pay for the royalty on it.
Yeah.
And then, using like royalty-free footage. Now you have a music video with a song with its own title, and then you can put anything in that footage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
CGI cool. Niner Club in the clubs in the background.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I'm going to be thinking about that one because at the moment, my brain isn't working very well, as you can tell by the stuttering and the stumbling over.
On the basis of trying to keep these tight and not run over too long, I think we've been on for almost an hour now. So it'd probably be a good time to wrap this one up, I think. My brain is literally like running a million miles per hour, and I want to go and try some things out, and also eat some food. There is the food element.
Yeah, same. I haven't eaten at all today, so that's definitely on the agenda. Shall I check your SOS Discord to see if there was anything I missed in terms of questions?
I do want to wrap this up though.
Okay, should we save it for next week? Because I didn't actually ask for many, so yeah. Okay. No worries. There are one or two people, Matthew Dean and Evita. I'm sorry. I said last week that we'd do it this week, but next week.
Lloyd's too hungry.
Lloyd need food.
Lisa, want a food for my tummy. What's happening to me? I'm doing it. Oh my God.
That was at least do a good impression, Lloyd. Come on.
I was trying for Jar Jar Binks, right?
Mr. Okay. Jar Jar Binks, I'm eating beef pam pam poodoo.
No. Are you the voice of Jar Jar Binks? Oh, what the hell?
I voice Jar Jar Binks. Yeah. Check my IMDb. That's why I was talking about Star Wars earlier.
No, you weren't. Hang on. You weren't even old enough. Hang on.
No, I was like 9 when that came up.
Yeah, so was Christopher Lloyd. No, Jake Lloyd. Who was also Lloyd. In Star Wars, which is mine and your birth child. I'm looking at IMDb.
Exactly. What did I say before? It's poetry. It rhymes. It's a circle. It's all connected.
Oh, no, it's not. You're not him. You absolute liar. I would have believed you. That was such a good... Dude, you sound just like him. What are you doing magic? You could be making a mint.
And I have a small YouTube channel doing impressions.
Do you?
No. Why do you still believe things I say?
I'm tired. Dude, I get in trouble for being so gullible. I believe almost anything. Not like conspiracy theory stuff, but if people tell me like, oh, by the way, I do this. Or like... I meet people and I say it like, oh, Kaylee, he's a nice person, or they're a nice person. And he's like, oh yeah, they're actually a murderer. They've been, I'm like, really? Oh, okay. I thought they were lovely.
Jesus.
I get it all the time. I'm terrible for it.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm pretty gullible as well, but it's karma because I get people so often. I'm just making stuff up for no reason.
I fully believed you as well. Okay, on that note, guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. I leave some comments down below. Comment Misa Jar Jar Binks if Jake is your favorite. And comment...
yeah, Misa Jar Jar Binks, bro.
And I don't know what to comment for me. Lloyd...
Lloyd Hungry.
Lloyd Hungry. All right, guys, thank you all for tuning in. If you've made it this far, you're a legend. We'll see you next Wednesday, same time, same place.
Yeah, with more energy.
More energy than this.
Yeah.
All right, you're now allowed to go and put some pants on, Jake, and dry off.
Go on. Amazing. See ya.
Bye, everyone.